Welcome to another edition of Maplewood Barn Radio Theater, brought to you in conjunction with KBIA Radio. Come on in and sit a while. Relax while we tell you a story. Today's program is an adaptation of another humorous short story by P.G. Wodehouse, entitled Jeeves and the Unbidden Guest. Jeeves has been employed by Bertie Wooster, a well-to-do New Yorker, as his gentleman's gentleman. The facts are not absolutely certain, but it was probably Shakespeare or some equally brainy fellow who once said that it's always just when a person is feeling particularly tip-top and more than unusually happy with things in general that fate sneaks up behind him with a bit of lead piping and hits him behind the ear. There's no doubt the man's right. It's absolutely that way with Bertie. The story at hand revolves around the convoluted matter of Lady Malvern and her son, Wilmot. A moment before they turned up, Bertie was thinking how thoroughly all right everything was. The action begins, as so many Jeeves tales do, in the living room of Bertie's New York apartment.
What ho, Jeeves? Was that a knock on the door?
Lady Malvern wishes to see you, sir.
What?
Lady Malvern, sir. She is waiting in the foyer.
Pull yourself together, Jeeves, my man. You know I don't appreciate practical jokes before breakfast. You know perfectly well it must be a delivery boy or some such. There's no one waiting for me in the foyer. How could there be when it's barely 10 o'clock yet?
I gathered from her ladyship, sir, that she had landed from an ocean liner at an early hour this morning.
This makes the thing a bit more plausible. When I arrived in America, I was forced to disembark before 8. But who in the world is Lady Malvern, Jeeves?
Her ladyship did not confide in me, sir.
Is she alone?
Her ladyship is accompanied by a Lord Pershore, sir. I fancy that his lordship would be her ladyship's son.
Ah, I remember her, Jeeves. She's a pal of my Aunt Agatha.
Indeed, sir.
Yes, I met her at lunch one Sunday before I left London. A very vicious woman. Writes books. She wrote a book on social conditions in India when she came back from the Durbar.
Yes, sir. Pardon me, sir, but not that tie.
Excuse me?
Not that tie with the heather mixture lounge coat, sir.
What is wrong with this tie? I've seen you give it a nasty look before. Speak out like a man. What's the matter with it?
Too ornate, sir.
Nonsense. A cheerful pink. Nothing more.
Unsuitable, sir.
Jeeves, this is the tie I will wear.
Very good, sir.
Hello, hello, hello.
Ah, how do you do, Mr. Wooster? You have never met my son Wilmot, I think? Marty, darling, this is Mr. Wooster.
Awfully glad to see you. So you've popped over, eh? Making a long stay in America?
About a month. Your aunt gave me your address and told me to be sure and call on you. Your aunt said you would do anything that was in your power to be of assistance to us.
She did? Oh, she did, of course. Absolutely.
Thank you so much. I want you to put dear Motty up for a little while.
I'm sorry. Put him up? Put him up for a nomination in my clubs?
No, no. Darling, Motty is essentially a home bird. Aren't you, Motty, darling? Motty, stop sucking the knob of your walking stick. Uncork yourself, dear.
Yes, Mother.
I would not like him belonging to clubs. I mean, put him up here. Have him live with you while I am away. I am leaving New York by the midday train, as I have to pay a visit to Sing Sing Prison. I am extremely interested in prison conditions in America. After I work my way gradually across to the coast, visiting the points of interest on the journey. You see, Mr. Wooster, I am in America principally on business. No doubt you read my book, India and the Indians? My publishers are anxious for me to write a companion volume on the United States. I shall not be able to spend more than a month in the country, as I have to get back for the season, but a month should be ample. I was less than a month in India, And my dear friend, Sir Roger Cremor, wrote his America from Within after a stay of only 2 weeks. I should love to take dear Motty with me, but the poor boy gets so sick when he travels by train. I shall have to pick him up on my return.
Why, my Lady Malvern...
It will be such a relief to know that Motty is safe with you, Mr. Wooster. I know what the temptations of a great city are. Hitherto, dear Motty has been sheltered from them. He's lived quietly with me in the country. I know that you will look after him carefully, Mr. Wooster. He will not give you much trouble. He is a vegetarian and a teetotaler, and is devoted to reading. Give him a nice book, and he will be quite contented. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Wooster. I don't know what I should have done without your help. Come, Motty. We have just time to see a few of the sights before my train goes, but I shall have to rely on you for most of my information about New York, darling. Be sure to keep your eyes open and take notes of your impressions. It will be such a help. Goodbye, Mr. Wooster. I will send Motty back early in the afternoon.
Goodbye. Jeeves, what are we to do?
Sir?
What's to be done? You heard it all, didn't you? You were in the dining room most of the time. That pill is coming to stay here.
Pills, sir?
The excrescence.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Jeeves, why are you acting like that? Ah, you're still upset about my tie, aren't you? Well, it makes no difference. Lord Persher, or Motty, as he is affectionately known, will be staying here starting tonight, Jeeves.
Very good, sir. Breakfast is ready, sir.
Oh, dash it all, Jeeves. The more I examine the situation, the bleaker it looks. There is nothing I can do. If I sling Motty out, he will report to his mother, and she will pass it on to Aunt Agatha. And I shudder to think what might happen then. There is absolutely nothing for it but to put the fellow up and make the best of it.
As you wish, sir.
But Bertie was a hard man to keep down. A short time later, he decided to go out, and with a smart twist of his pink tie, he took to the streets in search of lunch at a neighboring hostelry. And what with excellent browsing and sluicing and cheery conversation and whatnot, the afternoon passed quite happily. By dinner time, he had almost forgotten Motty's blighted existence. He dined at the club and took in a show afterward, and it was fairly late when he got back to the apartment. There were no signs of Motty.
Has Lord Persher gone to bed, Jeeves?
No, sir. His lordship has not yet returned.
Not returned? What do you mean?
His lordship came in shortly after 6:30 and, having dressed, went out again.
Better go and see what that is, Jeeves.
Very good, sir. If you would not mind stepping this way, sir, I think we might be able to carry him in.
Carry him in?
His lordship is lying on the mat, sir.
He's had some sort of a fit. Jeeves, someone's been feeding him meat.
Sir?
He's a vegetarian, you know. He must have eaten a steak or something. Call the doctor.
I hardly think that will be necessary, sir. If you would take his lordship's legs while I...
Great Scott, Jeeves! You don't think...
I am inclined to think so, sir.
By heavens, you're right, Jeeves. He's soused.
Thoroughly besotted, sir.
Well, we'd better bring him in, eh?
Yes, sir.
So they lugged him in and put him to bed. The next morning, over a thoughtful cup of tea, Bertie went into Motty's room to investigate. He expected to find the fellow a wreck, but there he was, sitting up in bed, quite chirpy, reading the comic section of the newspaper.
What ho?
What ho?
What ho, what ho?
What ho, what ho, what ho?
Well, after that, it seems rather difficult to go on with the conversation, doesn't it? How are you feeling this morning?
Oh, tip-top. Couldn't be better. You know, that man of yours, Jeeves, is quite a fellow. I had a most frightful headache when I woke up, and he brought me a sort of syrupy dog drink, and it put me right again at once. Said it was his own invention. I must see more of him.
You ate something that disagreed with you last night, didn't you?
No, I didn't do anything of the kind. I drank too much. Much too much. Lots and lots too much. And what's more, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it every night. If you ever see me sober, tap me on the shoulder and say, tot tot, and I'll take care of it.
But, you know, what about me?
What about you?
Well, I'm, so to speak, as it were, kind of responsible for you. What I mean to say is, if you go on doing this sort of thing, I'm apt to come off in a bad light.
I can't help your troubles. This is the first time in my life that I've had a real chance to yield to the temptations of a great city. What's the use of a great city having temptations if fellows don't yield to them? Besides, Mother told me to keep my eyes open and collect impressions. Are you all right?
Yes. Just felt a bit dizzy for a moment.
I know just how you feel, old friend, and if my principles would permit it, I would simmer down for your sake. But duty first. This is the first time I've been let out alone, and I mean to make the most of it. We're only young once. Young man, rejoice in thy youth. Tra-la-la, yippee, what ho, yippee!
Well, put like that, it does seem reasonable.
All my life, I've been cooped up in the ancestral home. Until you've been cooped up in an ancestral home, you don't know what cooping is. This is my only chance, and I'm going to make the most of it. Now tell me, mano a mano, how do you summon that fellow Jeeves? Do you ring a bell or shout a bit? I would like to discuss the subject of cocktails with him.
It's the Maplewood Barn Radio Theater on KBIA. Stay tuned. We'll have a short break. And then more of Jeeves and the Unbidden Guest here on KBIA. Before we continue with our story, let's take a moment to tell you about a way that you can help us at Maplewood Barn. Have you or a member of your family ever attended one of the shows or acted or helped out with a Maplewood performance? Well, we're researching a book about the Maplewood Barn Community Players to be published in a celebration of our new home and our 40th anniversary season. It will contain a lot of photos of past shows, costumes, and programs. Unfortunately, we lost a lot of our archives in the fire that destroyed the original historic barn a couple of years ago. If you have any memories or materials to share, we'd like your help. For details, check out our website. It's maplewoodbarn.com. And now, back to our story.
Good evening. This is Michael Scott, president of the board of directors for Maplewood Barn Community Theater. Thanks for joining us for our newest production, the Maplewood Barn Radio Theater. Each Friday at this time, you'll be hearing old-time radio stories performed by the same actors you'll see on stage when we welcome you back to the new Maplewood Barn in Nifong Park in the summer of 2012. And now, back to our story on KBIA.
The next week was the best of Lord Pershore's life, at least in his estimation, one of constant inebriation and complete debauchery. It upset Bertie horribly, and he got no sympathy from Jeeves. That was what cut Bertie to the quick. The man was still brooding about the tie, and simply wouldn't come round. One morning, Bertie tried to lure him into conversation about their unbidden guest.
You know, in a way, Jeeves, I can't help sympathizing with the fellow.
Sir?
He has about 4 weeks to have a good time, and I understand him wanting to stay pretty busy. I would have done just the same thing in his place. Still, there is no denying that it is getting a bit out of hand. If it weren't for Lady Malvern and Aunt Agatha in the background, I would regard Maudie's behavior with an indulgent smile. But I can't get rid of the feeling that, sooner or later, I'm the one scheduled to get the lead pipe behind the ear.
A lead pipe, sir?
Well, I shall get blamed, don't you know? You know how my Aunt Agatha is.
Oh, yes, sir.
Very well, then. Jeeves?
Sir?
Oh, blast it, Jeeves. Haven't you any scheme up your sleeve for coping with this situation?
No, sir.
and without another word, Jeeves shimmered off to his lair. The next night, Bertie came home early, after a lonely dinner. The sitting room was dark, and he was moving to switch on a light when there was a sort of explosion. And something took hold of his trouser leg.
Did you call, sir?
Jeeves, something grabbed my leg.
Oh, that would be Rollo, sir.
Who?
I would have warned you of his presence, but I did not hear you come in. His temper is a little uncertain at present, as he has not yet settled down.
Who in God's green earth is Rollo?
His lordship's bull terrier, sir. His lordship won him in a raffle and tied him to the leg of the table. If you allow me, sir, I will go in and switch on the light. There, see, he is not a bad dog. He enjoys having his ears scratched.
Oh, does him like to have his ears...
Rollo is obviously not used to you yet, sir, but he is an excellent watchdog.
I don't want a watchdog to keep me out of my own rooms.
No, sir.
Well, what am I to do?
No doubt in time the animal will learn to discriminate, sir. He will learn to distinguish your peculiar scent.
What do you mean, my peculiar scent? Are you suggesting that I slink about the hallway in the hope that one of these days that slavering animal will decide that I smell all right? Jeeves, I have come to a decision.
Sir?
I'm going away tomorrow morning by the first train. I shall go and visit Mr. Todd in the country.
Did you wish me to accompany you, sir?
No.
Very good, sir.
I don't know when I shall be back. Forward my letters.
Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, Bertie was back within the week. Rocky Todd was one of Bertie's best pals. But after a few days in his cottage in the woods, miles away from anywhere, New York, even with Motti on the premises, began to look pretty good. Bertie thanked Rocky for the kind hospitality and caught the only train they had down in those parts back to New York. He arrived about dinner time and went straight to the apartment. Jeeves came out of his lair. Bertie looked around cautiously for Rollo.
Where's that dog, Jeeves? Have you got him tied up?
The animal is no longer here, sir. His lordship gave him to a porter who sold him. His lordship took a prejudice against the animal on account of being bitten by him, much like your experience.
Oh, that's marvelous news. Apparently the dog was smarter than I thought. Is Lord Persher in, Jeeves?
No, sir.
Do you expect him back for dinner?
No, sir.
Where is he?
In prison, sir.
In prison?
Yes, sir.
You don't mean in prison?
Yes, sir.
Oh, no, this can't be true. Why? Why is he in prison?
He assaulted a policeman, sir.
Lord Persher assaulted a policeman?
Yes, sir.
But, Jeeves, this is the worst. It is frightful.
Sir?
What will Lady Malvern say when she finds out?
I do not fancy that her ladyship will find out, sir.
But she'll come back and want to know where he is.
I believe, sir, that his lordship's incarceration will run out by then.
But supposing it hasn't?
In that event, sir, it may be judicious to prevaricate a little.
Prevaricate? You mean lie?
Yes, sir. If I might make the suggestion, sir, I would inform her ladyship that his lordship has left for a short visit to Boston.
Why Boston?
Very interesting and respectable city, sir.
Jeeves, I believe you've hit it.
I believe so, sir.
Why, this really is the best thing that could have happened. If this hadn't taken him out of circulation, young Motti would have been strapped to a bed in an asylum by the time Lady Malvern got back.
Exactly, sir.
The more I think about it, the more I like it. Prison was just what Motti needed. It was the only thing that could have straightened him up. I am sorry for the poor young man, locked down like that. But after all, anyone who has lived all his life in an ancestral home with Lady Malvern shouldn't have much of an adjustment to prison life.
And for the next few weeks, life for Bertie became the same grand, sweet song it had always been. Things went on so comfortably and peacefully, he He'd almost forgotten such a person as Marty even existed. The only flaw in the scheme of things was that Jeeves was still pained and distant. Once, when Bertie was tying the pink tie, he caught sight of Jeeves in the looking glass. There was a kind of grieved look in his eye. And then it happened.
Lady Malvern has returned, sir.
What? Lady Malvern? Why, she is several days ahead of schedule, isn't she? Oh, I've lost track of the days.
Very good, sir. I have loosed Lady Malvern into the sitting room.
All right, Jeeves, I'll go to see her. Good morning. So, you've made it back safely.
I have made it back.
I suppose you haven't breakfasted.
I have not yet breakfasted.
Won't you have an egg or something? Or a sausage or something? Or something?
No, thank you. I called on you last night, but you were out.
Awfully sorry. Did you have a pleasant trip?
It was very enjoyable, thank you.
Did you see everything? Niagara Falls, Yellowstone Park, and the jolly old Grand Canyon and whatnot?
I saw a great deal. I hope Wilmot was not in your way, Mr. Wooster.
Oh, not at all. We've been great pals. Hit it off splendidly.
You were his constant companion, then?
Absolutely. We were always together. Saw all the sights, don't you know? Oh, we'd take in the Museum of Art in the morning and have a bit of lunch at some good vegetarian place, and then toddle along to a sacred concert in the afternoon and home to an early dinner. We usually played dominoes after dinner, and then the early bed and the refreshing sleep. We had a great time. I was awfully sorry when he went away to Boston.
Oh, Wilmot is in Boston.
Yes, I ought to have let you know. But, of course, we didn't know where you were. You were dodging all over the place like a snipe. Dodging all over the place. And we couldn't get to you. Yes, Marty went off to Boston.
You're sure he went to Boston?
Oh, absolutely. Jeeves, Lord Persher didn't change his mind about going to Boston, did he?
No, sir.
I thought I was right. Yes, Marty went to Boston.
Then how do you account, Mr. Wooster, for the fact that when I went yesterday afternoon to Blackwell's Island Prison to secure material for my book, I saw poor dear Wilmot there, dressed in a striped suit, seated beside a pile of stones with a hammer in his hands. So, this is how you have looked after my poor dear boy, Mr. Wooster? So this is how you have abused my trust? I left him in your charge, thinking that I could rely on you to shield him from evil. He came to you innocent, unversed in the ways of the world, confiding, unused to the temptations of a large city, and you led him astray.
If
you
deliberately... I might explain, Your Ladyship. I fancy, Your Ladyship, that you have misunderstood Mr. Wooster, and that he may have given you the impression that he was in New York when his lordship was removed. When Mr. Wooster informed Your Ladyship that his lordship had gone to Boston, he was relying on the version I had given him of his lordship's movements. Mr. Wooster was away visiting a friend in the country at the time, and knew nothing of the matter till Your Ladyship informed him.
Huh.
I feared Mr. Wooster might be disturbed if he knew the truth, as he is so attached to his lordship and has taken such pains to look after him. So I took the liberty of telling him that his lordship had gone away for a visit. It might have been hard for Mr. Wooster to believe that his lordship had gone to prison voluntarily and from the best motives, but Your Ladyship, knowing him better, will readily understand.
What? Did you say that Lord Pershaw went to prison voluntarily?
If I might explain, Your Ladyship, I think that Your Ladyship's parting words made a deep impression on his lordship. I have frequently heard him speak to Mr. Wooster of his desire to do something to follow Your Ladyship's instructions and collect material for Your Ladyship's book on America. Mr. Worcester will bear me out when I say that his lordship was frequently extremely depressed at the thought that he was going to do so little to help.
Absolutely. He was quite depressed about it.
The idea of making a personal examination into the prison system of the country from within occurred to his lordship very suddenly one night. He embraced it eagerly. There was no restraining him. Surely, your ladyship, it is more reasonable to suppose that a gentleman of his lordship's character went to prison of his own volition than that he committed some breach of the law which necessitated his arrest?
Mr. Worcester, I apologize. I have done you an injustice. I should have known Wilmot better. I should have had more faith in his pure, fine spirit.
Absolutely.
I'll see her ladyship out, sir.
Oh, yes. Thank you for what you have done, Mr. Worcester, taking such good care of Marty.
Oh, it was nothing. Really, nothing.
Lady Malvern, if you please.
Jeeves, you are certainly a lifesaver.
Thank you, sir.
Nothing would have convinced my Aunt Agatha that I hadn't lured that rascal into riotous living.
I fancy you are right, sir.
Jeeves.
Sir?
That pink tie.
Yes, sir.
Burn it.
Thank you, sir.
Jeeves was never so happy to burn an article of clothing in his entire life. We hope you have enjoyed this audio presentation of the P.G. Wodehouse short story, Jeeves and the Unbidden Guest, brought to you by Maplewood Barn Radio Theater and adapted for radio by Brad Buchanan. Our producer is Darren Helwich. Our players were Jeff Martin as Bertie, Byron Scott as Jeeves, Maggie Henson as Lady Malvern, and Terry Yates as Motty. This is your narrator, Brad Buchanan, hoping you'll join us at the same time next week for another entertaining story right here on KBIA.
Have you or a member of your family ever attended one of the shows or acted or helped out with a Maplewood performance? Well, we're researching a book about the Maplewood Barn community players to be published in a celebration of our new home and our 40th anniversary season. It will contain a lot of photos of past shows, costumes, and programs. Unfortunately, we lost a lot of our archives in the fire that destroyed the original historic barn a couple of years ago. If you have any memories or materials to share, we'd like your help. For details, check out our website. It's maplewoodbarn.com.